God, the miracle of survival in this life, everything we know in this life is going to do what? Everything as we know it in this life is going to do what? It's going to pass away. Everything. But there's only one thing that's going to abide forever. And he's holding his hand. The very Word of God that's going to abide forever. Our souls live forever, but the one thing tangible in this life that we can touch and see with our eyes is the very Word of God. And Satan's objective from day one was to change God's Word to put himself, he wanted to do what? He wanted to have, there's God's spot, where did the devil want to be? That's where he wanted to exalt his throne, even above God's throne. So likewise, he'll get us to think that God's Word's of none importance to us. Well, I'm saved, I'm in church, I'm fine, my soul is resting in the Lord. I don't need to read the Word of God every day. Don't we compromise? Oh, good night, man, after Sunday morning and Brother Hall teaching on the Word of God, and by the time the preacher preaches on Sunday night, and we go right back to church Wednesday night, we're going to hear it again. We're fine. We're not fine. It won't take till tomorrow. You won't be resting in this Word. Something will pop up, get you angry in the flesh, and if you ain't died to self, flesh is going to poke its ugly head up, and all what we heard today is for, it's good for today. This is a wonderful day. This is why I love Sunday, because it's all we get to hear. It's kind of like camp meeting for a day. Hallelujah. Camp meeting for a day. Just get in. Best day of the week. Let me read you some things. And then my daughter read about Jeremiah where they tried to destroy the Word of God, nevertheless destroying it, it come back even stronger. They burned truth in the marketplace and thought their work complete. But next day, with a smiling face, they met it on the street. Listen. They threw it in the dungeon camp and thought it was no more. But lo, it walked with lighted lamp among them as before. They scorned and ostracized it and ordered it to depart, but still it dwelt in all the land and challenged every heart. Ain't that good? Despite the devil's objective to destroy God's Word just keeps coming back. I'm going to share you with some thoughts. I was going to do it last week and didn't, so I'm going to get right into it. The Wonder of the Word, really interesting little book. A lot of compiled thoughts here, a lot of history, and it just amazes me centuries follow centuries, there it stands. Empires rise and fall and are forgotten, there it stands. Things go round and round in this life. I'm running out of time very quickly here. I want to get to the meat and the pudding. Who knows J. Edward Hoover? One person in the whole church knows J. Edward Hoover. Oh, there's another. There's another. Wait, there's another. Okay, there's four people know who. All right, this is what he had to say about the Bible. These are witnesses of great men. Courageous servant of the American people who has directed the vitality important work of the Federal Bureau of Investigation since 1924. This is what he said about the Bible. Interesting. The Bible is an unfailing guide which points the way for men to the perfect life. The lessons of charity, justice, equality, which enrich its pages should be learned well by all men in order that greed, variance, and iniquity can be blotted out. Wow. You wonder why they did great things back yonder in the day. The former president, Herbert Hoover, honored above the globe as a humanitarian and administrator and engineer, the only man ever to refuse payment for the burdensome load he carried in the presidency. in other federal offices. Present chief of the Commission on the Government Reorganization, whose wise counsel is still of great value to this nation. The whole, is what he said, the whole of the inspiration of our civilization springs from the teachings of Christ and the lessons of the prophets. To read the Bible for these fundamentals is a necessity of American life. But we've come a long way from that, ain't we? It's no longer a necessity. It's become, well, that's in it's your opinion. They used to say it was a necessity to have God's Word. The inspiration of the Scriptures was a necessity more than your very air you breathe, that you needed God's Word in your life. There's General Douglas MacArthur, whose brilliant leadership and courage won for America and her allies the war against Japan, and who was welcomed to New York in 1951 by the largest crowd ever gathered in the United States. I remember watching that documentary. Man, they come down to New York City, it's paper confetti going in the air, and he went down to the middle of town. I mean, it was more than the President of the United States coming in town. It was really, this is what he said. Believe me, sirs, never a night goes by, but be I ever so tired, I read the Word of God before I go to bed. They made it a habit of getting in God's Word. What made America great? They took this book seriously. Here's another one. My time is fading. Here's former President Harry S. Truman, who won the national recognition as chairman of the Senate committee during World War II, was drafted as Democratic nominee for vice president in 1944 and rose to the presidency a few months later to serve during a critical period in world history. This is what he said about the Word of God. I cannot think of anything that will bring about a more sober realization of spiritual values than the faithful reading of the Bible. That is not in this distraught world today a single issue that would not find solutions of men and nations would accept the plain teachings of the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount. Just on those two, I mean, the Bible's chuck clear full of goodies, but just the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount, just them two alone. I remember the statement by John Wesley. He said, if we could actually live out the Sermon on the Mount here on earth, we could establish the kingdom of heaven here. That's a powerful statement. If we could take it to heart and live what it says. But you look at early America in its day, though, you realize, oh, what? How they had them great revivals. Somebody got serious. Remember the prayer meeting that shook this country? Who remembers it? You probably heard of it. The prayer meeting that shook this country. It started in a time of depression. The worst place this America ever seen. Wall Street fell apart. Businesses fell. Money plummeted. No jobs, no food. People were... But it started from a prayer meeting. Because their problem was... Now listen, this was their problem. Everybody had everything they needed. The country was booming. The country was growing, jobs of bliss, no needs nowhere, nobody needed God. Nobody had time. Bless God, I got to push that time clock, man. I'm going to make money. I got to pay for that home. I got to pay for that new car. I ain't got time to go to church on Sunday. I ain't got time for God. So they started praying. They started losing their congregation. Churches was dwindling. Church in New York City was dwindled to almost nothing. He said, what can I do? And he got to praying. He said, I'll start a prayer meeting. Try to get these businessmen once a week to meet. I think it started with four men and one pastor of the whole city of New York City. By next week, it was 20. By the next week after it was like 50. Pretty soon, he decided, well, I'll just do it every day, see who it meets. They started asking God and believe God who He said He was. And then the market crashed. But that's what it took. What did it take for children of Israel to get on their knees again? It took them to crash. To get to the bottom before they looked up. Well, that's a fascinating story. Sobering hope. Get us to God's Word. Get us praying. We have a God wanting to bless. We have a God wanting to put the right man in. I believe that. But we're going to ask